exploited, hated, killed. The lives of Africans in Europe. Africa, which the Europeans exploited for centuries, looting its rich natural resources and reducing its people to poverty and backwardness, is still the victim of Europe's racist policies, as is evident by the hundreds of thousands of Africans who brave the hazards of drowning and human trafficking, land on the northern shores of the Mediterranean Sea in the hope of a better life, but find no reprieve to their economic woes in countries they had viewed as utopia. Stay with us for a report in this regard by journalist Elisa Odone. Elisa Odone writes for Al Jazeera and Al Monitor. Stay with us. Thousands of Africans pick fruit and vegetables for a pittance as supermarkets profit and face violent abuse. Drami Mathiri is a Malayan crop picker in Italy's southern Calabria region. Filling one crate with oranges earns him a euro, or just $1.17 during harvest season, which runs from November until March. If he's lucky, a nine-hour working in the biting winter of the vast Gioia Tauro Plain will bring him just 25 euros. He reached the Mediterranean island of Lampedusa on a migrant boat 4 years ago. He says the dinghy on the Libyan coast was my only opportunity for survival. My boss in Libya tried to kill me after I lost one of the sheep I was guarding. I had to escape. Once in Italy, he ended up in Rosano, an infamous mafia stronghold, but also an agricultural hotspot for tangerines, oranges, olives and kiwis. Around 2,500 African crop pickers work in the area. They're essential to the local economy. Most Italians have either left the countryside over the past few decades or refused to work for such low wages. Migrants live in shacks built from cardboard, wood, plastic and scrap metal in a polluted industrial area on the city's periphery. It is not known exactly how many African crop pickers there are in Italy. In 2016, Coldiretti, a farmers group, said there were 120,000 migrant workers, mostly from Africa, but also from Eastern Europe and other parts of Italy. Potable water and electricity are nowhere to be found in the sprawling camp in Rosano. Workers build makeshift toilets or simply relieve themselves in the fields. Ghassan Mohammed, a 44-year-old Gambian with chronic back pain that prevents him from working in the fields, sells hot water to the labourers for a few cents. After a fire destroyed the shantytown last year, Italian civil defence built a new camp with running water and electricity, a few metres away but equipped it with just 500 beds. Drama Mathiri, the Malayan, says, "It was the peak of the season and we were 3,500. It was not enough to host us all. Police threatened to destroy what was left of our shelters and to send us away." Bulldozers have obliterated the San Fernandino camp several times over the years. In 2010, migrant workers protested after three labourers were injured in a racially motivated shooting incident. Hundreds of migrants were ordered to leave in what some commentators called ethnic cleansing. One politician reportedly said Rosano had become the world's only white town. In June of this year, Mathiri and two of his fellow union-aligned colleagues were collecting scrap metal from a nearby impounded furnace when a gunman opened fire on them. The assailant, a local who's now in custody, killed Madiheri's Mali and colleague, Somaila Sako. The other two men survived the incident, suffering minor injuries. Madiheri says, "I was with Sako the day of his murder. I saw everything. I had to leave the camp amid fears of retaliation. It's not safe for me here anymore." Seasonal workers are often subject to racism and abuse in Italy. Many agricultural employers often work by the caporalato, an illegal employment system in which labourers are exploited for very little pay. A law against the practice passed in 2016, but results have been scarce. Abdelmajid Hanoun, a member of Unione Sindacale di Base, or USB, the same local union that assaulted workers belong to, says, "Workers get fixed-term contracts for up to 3 months, but not all working hours are declared. Contracts mention 30 working hours per week, whilst guys work at least 9 hours per day, including on Sundays. Things don't match." To complicate the situation, Italy's nearly 20-year-old Immigration Act only grants residency permits to migrant workers possessing contracts. When the contracts end, they can be expelled. Abubakar Sumahoro, a 38-year-old USP leader and emerging figure in Italian politics, says, "If labourers don't accept the employer's conditions, they won't receive their contracts, therefore losing their residency permits." Contracts became an element of blackmailing, creating a systematic exploitation mechanism and depriving workers of their organizational tools. Lengthy bureaucratic processes mean permits frequently arrive late, often towards their expiration. An appointment for their renewal can take workers up to 3 months, leaving them in a limbo. Meanwhile, employers of the Gioia Tauro Plains, nearly 400 declared farms, often have separate registers for workers and inspections. Owners can and do sidestep social security payments, and farmhands are cheated out of unemployment benefit when the season ends. Farmers also shrug off their responsibilities by hiring a middleman from within the African community who recruits labour in exchange for a percentage. This boss is also in charge of workers' transportation. If inspectors happen to discover any illegal practices, the blame falls on him. Mamadou Dia is a member of Doctors for Human Rights, an aid group offering health and social care to migrant agricultural workers. The agency's annual report details violations and abuse in Italy's agricultural hubs. He says, "This year things got even worse. Agreements signed in previous years by local authorities have not been respected. The conditions in which workers live are appalling. There are some 35,000 empty houses in the agricultural plain. Why are these houses not used to host workers instead of spending millions to build new camps?" In the southern province of Foggia, 500 kilometres north of Gioia Tauro, thousands pick tomatoes, olives, asparagus, antichokes and grapes from June through to October in the country's largest agricultural plain. Again, they live in ghettos and are paid no more than €4 an hour. They are legally entitled to between 6.5 to 7 euros per hour. USP member Antonio Di Gemma says, "Sooner or later, everyone passes by the ex-shanty town of Rignano, now renamed Torretta Antonacci. some workers move others stay all year long. Union-affiliated workers and their leaders occupied the city's cathedral in protest last October when a daily delivery of 10,000 litres of drinkable water stopped. The local bishop joined the demonstration and contacted the regional council to remind them of the water agreement. The district magistrate soon ordered the immediate resumption of the water delivery. Toretta and Tonachi resident Malayan Ibrahim Asanoko says he made more money elsewhere in Europe, but the Dublin regulation, which requires asylum seekers to be processed in the country they first arrive, forced him to return to Italy. Ibrahim Asanoko, who arrived in Italy in 2011, says, "I earn between 30 and 35 euros a day. I stay here all year, but always change employer. No one has legal contracts in the area." Following the killing of Sacco, the Malayan worker, Italy's lower house speaker, Roberto Fico, visited the San Fernandino camp in Calabria. He demanded an end to illegal practices and called for better conditions for migrant agricultural workers. He said farms need crop pickers, regardless of whether we are talking about people with a residency permit or Italians. Employers must provide food and accommodation to the labourers. When we talk about farmhands, we talk about the rights of the workers. Exploitation in the agricultural sector is not limited to the impoverished south of Italy. In the affluent northern town of Saluzzo, a flagship European agricultural area famed for its kiwis, peaches, apricots, blueberries and plums, success comes as abuse is ignored. Workers' salaries don't reflect their performance and crop pickers are often paid off the books at between 4 and 5 euros per hour, according to union members. They're not provided with the food and accommodation they're legally entitled to. The municipality has put 350 beds inside an old barrack at the workers' disposal. There are many more than 350 workers and makeshift camps have been banned. At least 200 people sleep on the streets, using cardboard boxes as mattresses. Many more are expected to arrive. Besides the misuse of European funds, experts and activists pin the blame on the retail industry and large supermarket chains in Italy. Antonello Mangano, an Italian journalist and founder of the TerraLibera.org, an investigative and research platform, says there is a fierce competition to keep prices of agricultural produce as low as possible. This mechanism that focuses on quality rather than quality affects producers caught in a cutthroat global competition they cannot sustain. Today, a kilo of oranges sold to the process industry brings a farmer some 6 cents, or 25 cents if for direct consumption. Supermarket prices instead vary from 1.5 to 3 euros. Antonello Mangano says, "We have either small farms or large estates in Italy. The latter are more advanced because of the quantity they produce. Still, they both need a mediator to sell their products to supermarkets or the process industry. There are always several passages involved. Each of these steps pushes up the prices." When several Italian and international retail chains were contacted for comment, one responded, "Luciano Leri from the sustainability department of the COOP Italia supermarket said his company launched its Good and Fair program in 2016. Luciano Leri says, "We buy products from our partners at a slightly higher market price and still manage to stay competitive." The retailer has conducted more than 1,700 inspections across its partner farms since endorsing the Ethical Code of Practice, SA 8000, in 1998. The certification pushes organizations to develop and apply socially acceptable practices. Caporalato, undeclared work, exploitation, and child labor are among the company's red lines. Since starting Good and Fair, the supermarket ended business relations with three agricultural firms. Meanwhile, far-right Interior Minister of Italy, Matteo Salvini, is pushing a hard line against migrant workers into Europe, announcing Italian ports will be closed all summer to NGO ships rescuing those trying to cross the Mediterranean Sea from Africa to Europe. Salvini also called for a Europe-wide alliance against mass immigration. Back in the camps, frustration runs high as workers demand justice. It's raining near Rosano. Everyone is out working in the fields. As Madiheri walks through the camp, he stops in front of Sacco's shelter. He says about his murdered compatriot, he began building the new shelter here. He wanted something better for himself. The government must realize that we are in 2018, and the racist messages its members are launching are based on ignorance. When racism talks, criminals listen up.